Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Babies who are born addicted to opiates and beginning life going through withdrawal. A third of those cases are happening that happen in Texas are coming from Bexar County, more than any county, other county in Texas. It's one of the topics that will be tackled at a conference on community engagement and healthcare improvement that will be happening soon. And we're going to be talking about that and other issues. So we invite you into our conversation as we talk about this. The number to call is 210-614-8980. We're joined by Lisa Cleveland, pediatric nurse and assistant professor of nursing at the University of Texas, San Antonio. And Lisa Ramirez, she is a lead program specialist, substance use disorder program, Texas Department of State Health Services. And welcome to The Source, both of Lisa's, two Lisa's. So welcome.
Thank you.
Well, this is the headline grabber, is the number of infants born in Bexar County who are going through withdrawals. And we know we're seeing a fantastic, an incredible, depressing opioid epidemic happening all across the country. So what happens to a baby who is born to a mother who is addicted to opioids? Lisa Ramirez.
So they tend to experience a set of symptoms associated with the abrupt cessation of access to the opioids that they've been exposed to prenatally. The symptoms range, but are completely treatable. And San Antonio has done a really good job of understanding how to treat these babies, how to incorporate care by the mom, which is vitally important to these newborns. We've seen in the work that they've done that babies and moms do much better when they're kept together. And the mom can be a part of their recovery. And moms tend to also recover better when mom and baby are together. You know, if the mom, if the baby is removed and put in an abnormal environment, you get abnormal behavior from the baby. And it also adds trauma to the mom, and which puts her at risk for relapse. So San Antonio's done a great job, and we're trying to replicate that program throughout the state.
But so we always hear how difficult it is to deal with opioid withdrawal, that it is something that is very difficult to kick. And it's hard to imagine a newborn infant having to face these withdrawals. It's extreme sickness and spasms. And I can imagine, I mean, this must not be a pretty sight to witness, Lisa Ramirez.
Certainly, and I think Lisa Cleveland may be able to speak more to this, being a nurse. But certainly, you know, the we hear from nurses and the moms who, you know, are caring for the babies, who see that they're experiencing, you know, a lot of crying, a lot of gastrointestinal issues, nervous system issues. But like I said, when you have hospitals that incorporate the parents into the care of the newborns, often medication isn't even needed to treat the symptoms. You know, some of the techniques that the University Health System and the staff there and Lisa Cleveland's group are using, such as kangaroo care and breastfeeding and such, go a real long way in providing the kind of soothing that these newborns need so that they can feed well and thrive and get better.
All right. So Lisa Cleveland, tell us more about that.
So Lisa's correct. These babies have a variety of symptoms that they experience. One in particular is inconsolable crying, and they often don't sleep well. One of the things that we've been doing with, Lisa mentioned the kangaroo mother care, which is a method of skin-to-skin mother-infant holding that's been used quite extensively with preterm infants. It's often recommended for infants with neonatal abstinence syndrome, but we don't have a lot of good evidence to really support this, other than anecdotal evidence. So what we are doing with the kangaroo mother care study is looking at the impact this has on stress and attachment within mother-infant dyads. And we are right now conducting the study at University Hospital. We are getting ready to expand to Baptist Medical Center, really looking forward to that. And we are also partnering with some of our community agencies, such as the Center for Healthcare Services, which offers treatment services for women, and Alpha Home.
But we know that when babies are born, and the proper term is dealing with neonatal abstinence syndrome.
Yes.
And so abstinence, you know, people may be thrown off because we're used to hearing that word in a different context.
Uh-huh.
But it's an absence of the substance that they are born addicted to.
Yes. And so we try to be very cautious when we refer to this population. Babies are not born addicted. They are not addicts. They are physically dependent on a substance that they were prenatally exposed to.
Right. It was in the placenta that they were exposed to as gestation.
So it's a physical dependency. Addiction's a little bit different. Issue.
Right. So the infants, they do not suffer any long-term conditions because of this?
You know, we don't have a lot of good evidence to say one way or the other. There's not been a lot of follow-up of these infants. That's one of the pieces we're planning to add on to the kangaroo mother care study, hoping to be able to follow them up until they begin school to see how they do developmentally. But we just honestly don't know right now.
And so the
I think it's important to add, though, that women who are using opioids during pregnancy, whether they started using with a prescription or used illicit substances, opioids or not, they really can't just stop using an opioid. The withdrawal symptoms that they would experience put the fetus at risk, and they put her at risk for miscarriage. So it's one substance that you can't just stop using while you're pregnant. You have to get treatment through medication-assisted treatment. So just something to add.
So would methadone be an appropriate treatment?
Yes. Methadone is actually the recommended treatment for the recommended substance for medication-assisted treatment.
But we've seen, I know at least one case in Texas, I think it was in Guadalupe County, where a woman was jailed who was addicted to opioids, and then the jailers refused to administer methadone.
Yes.
And forced her to go, and she was pregnant, and she was forced to go into absolute withdrawal.
Right. And so here in Bexar County, the Center for Healthcare Services does transport methadone to the pregnant women who are incarcerated. And Lisa, I believe you know the Guadalupe County case pretty well.
Yes.
Yeah.
And actually that inspired some work between the Texas Department of State Health Services and the Texas Commission on Jail Standards to provide through this exceptional item that was funded to provide, part of it is to provide medication-assisted treatment in the jails for pregnant and postpartum women so that they aren't at risk for miscarriage.
All right, and I just want to underline that this is just one part of many issues that are going to be discussed coming up this weekend at the Conference on Community Engagement and Healthcare Improvement that's going to be taking place Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 2nd through the 4th at the Wyndham at the San Antonio Hotel. This is open to the public, and the conference theme is social justice, health equity, and value-based care. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from this break. Our phone lines are open. We want to hear from you. What are your thoughts about dealing with these opioid dependent children as they're born, but they're not addicted, but they are going through withdrawals, and other issues related to community health engagement and improvement? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about a conference that's happening this weekend at the downtown Wyndham Hotel on the Riverwalk. This is the Conference on Community Engagement and Healthcare Improvement. It's free and open to the public, and the theme of the conference is social justice, health equity, and value-based care. They have a number of topics, I think, that are really significant, need to be talked about. Developing caring for the caregiver programs, drawing on community strengths to support them, academic community partnerships to reduce health disparities, and building walkable communities and developing sustainable programs for that. We were earlier talking about another issue that they're dealing with, which is building a Bexar County neonatal abstinence syndrome collaborative, and that's for infants here who are born with dependency on the addiction. You know, they're going through withdrawals. They're infants going through withdrawals of opioids, and Bexar County is the leading county in the state for this issue. So let me talk to Lisa Cleveland. She's a pediatric nurse. She's associate professor at the School of Nursing at the UT Health Science Center in San Antonio. And this conference, this is free and open to the public. I mean, why is this a public type of event?
It is free. It's open to the public. And what we're really inviting the public to do is to come and engage in conversations with us between researchers and community partners and talking about those issues that are important to Bexar County. We really want the community to engage with us and help drive the research agenda for Bexar County, which is very similar to what we're going to be talking about in the panel discussion on the Bexar County NAS Collaborative. We have participants from Baptist Health System, from University Health System, from some of our other community agencies. We're also going to have three of the moms that participated in our kangaroo care study who have completed the study and are doing well. One in particular is Yolanda. She was one of the first mothers to enroll in our study and complete all of the data collection. When she delivered her baby, Vea, Vea was born at 29 weeks. She was withdrawing from heroin. Since then, Yolanda she's now in recovery for 15 months. She's doing amazing. She has her own apartment. She had all three of her daughters living with her this summer. And so she's going to be there talking about her experiences, what she's been through, and really contributing to the conversation of, you know, where do we need to be directing our attention as far as research focused on NAS in Bexar County.
So Lisa Ramirez, the lead program specialist, a substance use disorders program at the Texas Department of State Health Services. Lisa, tell me, why do you think it's important that we have public conversations like this?
Well, I think a lot of people aren't having conversations necessarily about substance use disorders. It tends to be a taboo topic, but I think with the opioid crisis that we're dealing with, and by the way, today is International Overdose Awareness Day, I think that people are becoming more aware of this problem as they're losing loved ones and family members, or family members are affected by this disorder. And it can be a confusing disorder to deal with because it has such a behavioral element to it. And people have historically not understood it as a chronic brain disease. So I think it's important to understand that it takes a multifaceted approach and that everybody has a role in addressing this issue and being a part of the solution. One of the great things about the Mommies program that Lisa was talking about earlier is that we're integrating primary care, they're integrating behavioral health care providers, they're involving child welfare, criminal justice. All these systems need to be together at the table, as we mentioned, to address this issue. And so it's really important that all members of the community, first responders, police, public health officials, that we're all there together to understand this issue a little bit better and understand how we can all be a part of the solution.
And so, Lisa Cleveland, when you have mothers, we saw the study that came out recently showing that there was this rate of maternal mortality was astonishing in Texas. The rate had doubled and had skyrocketed in the 2 years. And everyone had different ideas about what could be the cause for that skyrocketing rate of mothers dying in childbirth. But it's definitely opioid use is one of the factors that's contributing to that.
I think it's definitely part of it. One of the things that Lisa mentioned was the taboo that surrounds this issue. And I think that is so important. There's such a stigma connected with a substance use disorder. And I think that's even more true when it involves a woman who is a mother and who has children. There's a lot of fear about going to get treatment and about losing your children. It's a huge deterrent to treatment.
We've seen two states, Alabama and Tennessee, pass laws that required doctors to report when they found pregnant mothers dealing with opioid addiction. And then they would actually lock up in prison the women. And so this had a boomerang effect where the women who were dealing with addiction, not going for prenatal care and having just worse outcomes. But now there are people calling for the legislature to step in to deal with this in Texas. So what kind of law would actually work and not cause these unintended consequences, Lisa Cleveland?
we need available treatment for women and for pregnant women. And that's been a problem in the past, is even oftentimes when a mother or a woman wants to get into treatment, there's no place for her to go. And so that needs to be a priority. And penalizing women or criminalizing them for a substance use disorder is absolutely the wrong approach to this. I do think it will be a huge deterrent to women getting the treatment that they need.
And Lisa Ramirez?
Right. So, I mean, with some of our initiatives, we're creating an additional 635 slots in for medication-assisted treatment for pregnant and postpartum women specifically. We have, you know, we heard reports of women who were having to drive 2.5 hours each way every day to receive treatment that would address their opioid use disorder and prevent them from experiencing a miscarriage associated with withdrawal. In addition to that, a lot of women don't know what the right treatment is. When I spoke with women in San Antonio when we were first starting these projects, they said that they didn't have the right information, that they were being told by family, friends, or other people to drink alcohol to cope with the withdrawal symptoms. And actually, alcohol exposure during pregnancy, we know can result in lifelong developmental effects for the child. And so seeking treatment in a methadone program or a program that offers buprenorphine that we're trying to expand is key. And we need women to have this information in their at their fingertips and understand these issues. So we're providing some programs that are conducting targeted outreach efforts to provide women with appropriate information about what treatment is best for them and how to seek treatment. And there's a statewide program in San Antonio, so if these services aren't available in other parts of the state, they can receive the care and expertise from the professionals in San Antonio who know how to provide integrated and collaborative care. And so we're really trying to boost those programs that are doing a really good job and make sure women understand how to address their substance use disorder, what's safest for them and their child, and trying to open up more treatment for women and their children.
Our phone lines are open if you want to join the conversation. The number is 210-614-8980. Alex is on the line. Alex, hi. Welcome to The Source, and you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I was pregnant with my daughter when I turned 23. She just turned 5 now. I'm currently 28, and I was addicted to Vicodin at the time, and I noticed it was a very taboo thing, like very shameful thing. I had not the best support I should have received during my pregnancy. My pain clinic doctor actually told me it was okay just to watch the limit of the intake of the medication, but of course they kept me on. But I kind of was wondering why there weren't any sources really for someone like me to know about opioid addiction and pregnancy. Like, I felt like I had no other resources to go to or no pamphlets really to read about it either. And I was kind of wondering if maybe we can just start distributing more pamphlets about it. It'd be a little bit better, a little bit easier for people to feel comfortable to come out and come forward to speak about it, because I didn't even want to tell my doctor, my OBGYN doctor, about it.
How's your daughter, Alex?
Oh, she is great. This is what was weird, too. I don't know if it was my dosing, but she didn't go through detox or physical dependency problems like everybody thought she did.
That's good to hear. Alex, great. I'm so glad to hear that, and thank you for calling in with your story. Lisa Cleveland, what do you think what Alex has to say?
So Alex mentioned just the shame and the feelings of guilt, and that's something I
hear. And opioid addiction goes for all sorts of different demographics.
Absolutely. It does not discriminate by gender, by ethnicity. And we hear this repeatedly with mothers, the shame and the guilt associated with it. She did mention something interesting, though.
Uh-huh.
When it comes to neonatal abstinence syndrome, there is not a clear correlation between the amount of the opioid the mother is taking and how long throughout the pregnancy she was on it. And so it's hard to predict which infants are going to get neonatal abstinence syndrome and which ones will get it the worst. So that's very interesting that she experienced that.
All right, this is just one topic that will be tackled at the Conference on Community Engagement and Healthcare Improvement. This is a community event with healthcare professionals along with people who are just want to improve health outcomes in our San Antonio community. It's taking place Friday, Saturday, Sunday at the Wyndham San Antonio Riverwalk Hotel. It's free and open to the public. The theme is social justice, health equity, and value-based care. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning in.